Jina Margaret Aġus, nsemmilkom u nilqakom għal program ieħor fis-serje Il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U illum se nippreżentalkom teżor kbir. Miktuba fuq il-papiri ġol-Iġittu instabu żewġ ħrejjef propju minn żmien il-ħakma tal-Farawni. Tal-Farawni Set it-tieni li ħakem bejn l-1200 sena u l-1194 sena qabel Kristu. U dawn illum jinstabu ġol-British Museum. U propju llum ukoll se naqralkom waħda minn dawn il-ħrejjef li jisima A Tale of Two Brothers. Il-Farawni Set it-tieni kellu ħafna problemi maħuħ għaliex dan tal-aħħar ħataflu is-saltna. U din l-istorja naraw li hemm ħafna xebħ mal-ħajja tal-Farawni. Fil-fatt huwa maħsub illi din l-istorja hija satira politika. Kif se naraw fl-istorja, Ampu u Ħuħbata ikollhom ħafna problemi bejniethom. Jekk tifli l-istorja Eġizzjana issib li dawn kienu allat. U fl-istorja narawhom ħerġin u deħlin minn dan l-irwol. Ta' min jgħid illi dak iż-żmien ir-re, l-Farawni, kien meqjus bħal Alla. U f'dan ir-rakkont dan naraw il-ħin kollu. Tintuża ħafna t-tema tas-separazzjoni. L-irġiel jisseparaw minn xulxin, minħabba li l-mara ta' Ampu tajt li bata immolesta, u nsibu wkoll is-separazzjoni bejn iż-żewġ koppji. Il-pajjiż innifsu huwa segregat. Infatti fl-istorja nisimgħu illi l-Eġittu maqsum fiż-żoni tal-Biċċ u tal-Punent. Iżda fl-istorja jintużaw l-annimali bħala simboli ta' ġlied Upper Egyptian Panther u Cheetah of the South. Min sempliċi ħrafa bħal din naħseb jiena l-antropoloġisti l-immaġina li jagħmlu festa. U aħna bħalhom se naraw kif kienu jgħixu dawn in-nies tal-qedem. U x'kienu l-valuri tagħhom. Indunaw ukoll li l-bniedem ftit li xejn inbidel, minn dejjem kien iħalli l-emozzjonijiet jeqirduh. Fil-fatt fija l-istess elementi tat-telenovellas u s-soap operas tal-lum. Dik taqliba lil dak, l-ajra, l-vendikazzjonijiet, il-qtil u ħafna u ħafna intriċċi oħra. Bħal, pereżempju, ukoll mutilazzjoni li fil-fatt tħallit barra minn din il-verżjoni. Mela Ampu jirrabja għal Ħuħbata għax jaħseb li dan kien immolesta lill-mara tiegħu. Biex Bata jikkonvinċi lil Ħuħ li dan ma kienx veru, jaqta l-organu maskili tiegħu u jwadbu fix-xmara u jispiċċa fħal taħuta. U fil-fatt kif għatilkom din il-biċċa titħalla barra, però tindunaw li wasalna hemmhekk għaliex ikunu qegħdin fejn ix-xmara u jkun hemm il-kukkudrilli. U fil-fatt fl-istorja jgħid biss illi da weġġa lilu nnifsu. Iva, kif qegħdin taraw, din il-ħrafa għandha ħafna partijiet makabri, però għandha wkoll partijiet fantastiċi u naħseb dik li tagħmilha verament ħrafa. Issa l-Bata narawhu wkoll bħala Alla, għalhekk il-virilità tiegħu ma tiqafx hemm. Fil-fatt tant jibqa' virili illi meta dan jinbidel f'żewġ siġar tal-akaxja itaqqal lill-mara tiegħu billi t-tir skalda meta jkunu qegħdin jaqtaw qattaw biċċiet is-siġar it-tir skalda. U din it-taqala. Però naħseb li aħjar issa inħallikom tisimgħuha A Tale of Two Brothers. Said that there were two brothers, the children of one mother and of one father. The name of the elder was Anpu, and Bata was the name of the younger. Ampu had a house and a wife, and Bata lived with him like a younger brother. It was Bata who made the clothes. He tended and herded his cattle in the fields. He ploughed the land. He did the hard work during the time of harvest, and he kept the account of everything that related to the fields. And Bata was a most excellent farmer, and his like there was not in the whole countryside. And behold, the power of the god was in him. And very many days passed during which Anpu's young brother tended his flocks and herds daily, and he returned to his house each evening loaded with field produce of every kind. And when he had returned from the fields, he set food before his elder brother, who sat with his wife drinking and eating, and then Bata went out to the byre and slept with the cattle. On the following morning, as soon as it was day, Bata took bread cakes newly baked and set them before Anpu, who gave him food to take with him to the fields. Then Bata drove out his cattle into the fields to feed, and as he walked behind them, they said unto him, "The pasturage is good in such and such a place." And he listened to their voices, and took them where they wished to go. Thus the cattle in Bata's charge became exceedingly fine, and their calves doubled in number, and they multiplied exceedingly. And when it was the season for ploughing, Ampu said unto Bata, "Come, let us go, our teams ready for ploughing the fields, and our implements, for the ground had appeared, and it is in the proper condition for the plough. Go to the fields, and take the seed corn with thee today, and at daybreak tomorrow we will do the ploughing." This is what he said to him. And Bata did everything which Ampu had told him to do. The next morning, as soon as it was daylight, the two brothers went into the fields with their teams and their ploughs, and they ploughed the land, and they were exceedingly happy as they ploughed, from the beginning of their work to the very end thereof. The waters of the inundation had subsided, leaving the ground visible. Now when the two brothers had been living in this way for a considerable time, they were in the fields one day ploughing, and Ampu said to Bata, "Run back to the farm and fetch some more seed corn." And Bata did so. And when he arrived there, he found his brother's wife seated dressing her hair. And he said to her, "Get up and give me some seed corn, that I may hurry back to the fields, for Ampu ordered me not to loiter on the way." Ampu's wife said to him, "Go thyself to the grain shed and open the bin, and take out from it as much corn as thou wishest. I could fetch it for thee myself, only I'm afraid that my hair would fall down on the way." Then the young man went to the bin and filled a very large jar full of grain, for it was his desire to carry off a large quantity of seed corn, and he lifted up on his shoulders the pot, which was filled full of wheat and barley, and came out of the shed with it. And Ampu's wife said to him, "How much grain hast thou on thy shoulders?" And Bata said to her, 3 measures of barley and 2 measures of wheat. In all, 5 measures of grain. That is what I have on my shoulders." These were the words which he spake to her. And she said to him, "How strong thou art! I have been observing thy vigorousness day by day." And her heart inclined to him, and she entreated him to stay with her, promising to give him beautiful apparel if he would do so. Then the young man became filled with fury like a panther of the south, because of her words, and when she saw how angry he was, she became terribly afraid. And he said to her, "Verily thou art to me as my mother, and thy husband is as my father, and being my elder brother he had provided me with the means of living. Thou hast said unto me what ought not to have been said, and I pray thee not to repeat it. On my part I shall tell no man of it, and on thine thou must never declare the matter to man or woman." Then Bata took up his load on his shoulders and departed to the fields. And when he arrived at the place where his elder brother was, they continued their ploughing and laboured diligently at their work. And when the evening was come, the elder brother returned to his house, and having loaded himself with the products of the fields, Bata drove his flocks and herds back to the farm, and put them in their enclosures. And behold, Ampu's wife was smitten with fear, because of the words she had spoken to Bata, and she took some grease and a piece of linen, and she made herself to appear like a woman who had been assaulted, and who had been violently beaten by her assailant, for she wished to say to her husband, "Thy younger brother had beaten me sorely." And when Ampu returned in the evening, according to his daily custom, and arrived at his house, he found his wife lying on the ground in the condition of one who had been assaulted with violence. She did not appear to pour water over his hands, according to custom. She did not light a light before him. His house was in darkness, and she was lying prostrate and sick. And her husband said unto her, "Who had been talking to thee?" And she said unto him, "No one had been talking to me except thy young brother. When he came to fetch the seed corn, he found me sitting alone, and he spake words of love to me, and he told me to tie up my hair, and I would not listen to him, and I said to him, 'Am I not like thy mother? Is not thy elder brother like thy father?' Then he was greatly afraid, and he beat me to prevent me from telling thee about this matter. Now, if thou dost not kill him, I shall kill myself. For since I have complained to thee about his words, when he cometh back in the evening, what he will do is manifest." Then the elder brother became like a panther of the southern desert with wrath, and he seized his dagger and sharpened it, and went and stood behind the stable door, so that he might slay Bata when he returned in the evening, and came to the byre to bring in his cattle. And when the sun was about to set, Bata loaded himself with products of the field of every kind, according to his custom, and returned to the farm. And as he was coming back, the cow that led the herd said to Bata, as she was entering the byre, "Verily thy elder brother is waiting with his dagger to slay thee. Flee thou from before him." And Bata hearkened to the words of the leading cow. And when the second cow, as she was about to enter into the byre, spake unto him, even as did the first cow, Bata looked under the door of the byre, and saw the feet of the elder brother, as he stood behind the door with his dagger in his hand. Then he set down the load upon the ground, and he ran away as fast as he could run, and Ampu followed him, grasping his dagger. And Bata cried out to Ra Harmachis, the sun-god, and said, "O my fair lord, thou art he who judgeth between the wrong and the right." And the god Ra hearkened unto all his words, and he caused a great stream to come into being, and to separate the two brothers, and the water was filled with crocodiles. Now Ampu was on one side of the stream, and Bata on the other. And Ampu wrung his hands together in bitter wrath, because he could not kill his brother. Then Bata cried out to Ampu on the other bank, saying, "Stay where thou art until daylight, and until the disk. Rise it, I will enter unto judgment with thee in his presence, for it is he who set it right what is wrong. I shall never more live with thee, and I shall never again dwell in the place where thou art. And I am going to the valley of the Acacia." And when the day dawned, and there was light on the earth, and Ra Harmachis was shining, the two brothers looked at each other. And Bata spake unto Ampu, saying, "Why hast thou pursued me in this treacherous way, wishing to slay me, without first hearing what I had to say? I am thy brother, younger than thou art. And thou art as a father, and thy wife is as a mother to me. Is it not so? When thou didst send me to fetch seed corn for our work, it was thy wife who said, 'I pray thee to stay with me.' But behold, the facts have been misrepresented to thee, and the reverse of what happened hath been put before thee." Then Bata explained everything to Ampu, and made him to understand exactly what had taken place between him and his brother's wife. And Bata swore an oath by Ra Harmachis, saying, "By Ra Harmachis, to lie in wait for me and to pursue me with thy knife in thy hand, ready to slay me, was a wicked and abominable thing to do." And Bata took from his side the knife which he used in cutting reeds, and drove it into his body, and he sank down fainting upon the ground. Then Ampu cursed himself with bitter curses, and he lifted up his voice and wept, and he did not know how to cross over the stream to the bank where Bata was, because of the crocodiles. And Bata cried out to him, saying, "Behold, thou art ready to remember against me one bad deed of mine, but thou dost not remember my good deeds, or even one of the many things that have been done for thee by me. Shame on thee! Get thee back to thy house, and tend thine own cattle, for I will no longer stay with thee. I will depart to the valley of the Acacia, but thou shalt come to minister to me. Therefore take heed to what I say. Now know that certain things are about to happen to me, and I am going to cast a spell on my heart, so that I may be able to place it on a flower of the acacia tree. When this acacia is cut down, my heart shall fall to the ground, and thou shalt come to seek for it. Thou shalt pass 7 years in seeking for it, but let not thy heart be sick with disappointment, for thou shalt find it. When thou findest it, place it in a vessel of cold water, and verily my heart shall live again, and shall make answer to thy elder brother Ampu. Behold, his wife hath been slain by him, and moreover, thou hast made an adequate answer to the attack which he made upon thee."
And their hearts were very sore indeed for Bata. Then Rahamakis said unto Khnemu, "Fashion a wife for Bata, so that thou, O Bata, mayest not dwell alone." And Khnemu made a wife to live with Bata, and her body was more beautiful than the body of any other woman in the whole country, and the essence of every god was in her. And the 7 Hathor goddesses came to her, and they said, "She shall die by the sword." And Bata loved her most dearly, and she lived in his house, and he passed all his days in hunting the wild animals of the desert, so that he might bring them and lay them before her. And he said to her, "Go not out of the house, lest the river carry thee off, for I know not how to deliver thee from it. My heart is set upon the flower of the acacia, and if any man find it, I must do battle with him for it." And he told her everything that had happened concerning his heart, the god who fashioned the bodies of men. And many days afterwards, when Bata had gone out hunting as usual, the young woman went out of the house and walked under the acacia tree, which was close by, and the river saw her, and sent its waters rolling after her, and she fled before them and ran away into her house, and the river said, "I love her," and the acacia took to the river a lock of her hair, and the river carried it to Egypt. And the scribes and the magicians were summoned into the presence of Pharaoh, and they said to him, "This lock of hair belongeth to a maiden of Rahamakis, and the essence of every god is in her. It cometh to thee from a strange land as a salutation of praise to thee. We therefore pray thee, send ambassadors into every land to seek her out. And as concerning the ambassador to the valley of the acacia, we beg thee to send a strong escort with him to fetch her." And his majesty said unto them, "What we have decided is very good." And he dispatched the ambassadors. And this woman returned to Egypt, and everyone in all parts of the country rejoiced at her arrival, and his majesty loved her exceedingly, and he paid her homage as the great august one, the chief wife. And he spake to her, and made her tell him what had become of her husband. And she said to his majesty, "I pray thee to cut down the acacia tree, and then to destroy it." Then the king caused men and bowmen to set out with axes to cut down the acacia. And when they arrived in the valley of the acacia, they cut down the flower on which was the heart of Bata, and he fell down dead at that very moment of evil. Bata's elder brother set out to march to the valley of the acacia, and when he arrived there, he went into Bata's house, and he found his young brother there, lying dead on his bed. And when he looked upon his young brother, He wept on seeing that he was dead. Then he set out to seek for the heart of Bata under the acacia, where he was wont to sleep at night. And he passed 3 years in seeking for it, but found it not. And when the 4th year of his search had begun, his heart craved to return to Egypt. And he said, I will depart thither tomorrow morning. That was what he said to himself. And on the following day he walked about under the acacia all day long looking for Bata's heart. And as he was returning to the house in the evening, and was looking about him still searching for it, he found a seed, which he took back with him. And behold, it was Bata's heart. Then he fetched a vessel of cold water, and having placed the seed in it, he sat down according to his custom. And when the night came, the heart had absorbed all the water, and Bata, on his bed, trembled in all his members. And he looked at Ampu, while his heart remained in the vessel of water. And Ampu took up the vessel, wherein was his brother's heart, which had absorbed the water. And Bata's heart ascended its throne in his body, and Bata became as he had been aforetime. And the two brothers embraced each other, and each spake to the other. The following day Bata then changed himself into a bull, and asked Ampu to ride him, and take him to the king where his wife was living. And when many days had passed by, the bull went into the house of purification, and he stood up in the place where the august lady was, and said unto her, Look upon me, I am alive in very truth. And she said unto him, Who art thou? And he said unto her, I am Bata. When thou didst cause the acacia which held my heart to be destroyed by Pharaoh, well didst thou know that thou wouldst kill me. Nevertheless, I am alive indeed in the form of a bull. Look at me. And the august lady was greatly afraid because of what she had said concerning her husband to the king. And the bull departed from the place of purification, and his majesty went to tarry in her house, and to rejoice with her. And she ate and drank with him, and the king was exceedingly happy. Then she ordered to have the bull killed, who in reality was her husband, as she wanted to eat his liver. As it was being killed, out of the drops of blood, 2 acacia trees grew, and the august lady came, following after the Pharaoh, in a chariot drawn by horses, and his majesty sat down under 1 acacia, and the august lady sat under the other. And when she had seated herself, the acacia spake unto his wife, saying, O woman, who art full of guile, I am Bata, and I am alive, even though thou hast entreated me evilly. Well didst thou know, when thou didst make Pharaoh to cut down the acacia that held my heart, that thou wouldst kill me. And when I transformed myself into a bull, thou didst cause me to be slain. And several days after this, the august lady was eating and drinking at the table of his majesty, and the king was enjoying her society greatly. And she ordered the king once again to have the acacia trees cut down. And whilst the august lady was standing and watching them being cut down, a splinter flew from one of them into her mouth, and she knew that she had conceived. And the king did for her everything which her heart desired. And many days after this happened, she brought forth a man-child. And the king sat down to enjoy a feast. And he began to call the child by his name, and he loved him very dearly. And at that same time the king gave him the title of Royal Son of Kash. And when the king died, this son became king. And the king, that is Bata, said, Let all the chief princes be summoned before me, so that I may inform them about everything which hath happened unto me. And they brought his wife, and he entered into judgment with her, and the sentence which he passed upon her was carried out. And Ampu, the brother of the king, who brought unto his majesty and the king, made him erpa of the whole country. When his majesty had reigned over Egypt for 20 years, he departed to life. He died, and his brother Ampu took his place on the day in which he was buried. Here ended this story happily in peace. Ispera li nirnexxielkom tisimgħuha kollax, idaq xejn twila mhux ħażin, u naħseb illi innutajtu hemmhekk xi rwol għandhom in-nisa. Isom in-nisa qegħdin hemm biss biex jippersonifikaw il-ħażen. L-ewwel mara tagħmel minn kollox biex iġġellet lill-aħwa Ampu Bata. U wieħed jispiċċa joqtol lill-ieħor. U t-tieni mara, din id-darba il-mara ta' Bata, tkompli tkasbru u teqirdu minwiċċ id-dinja. Iżda jidher assurd fajnejn għalfatt li skalda mis-siġar tal-akaxja ittaqqal lill-eks mara ta' Bata. U naħseb jiena hawnhekk fl-istorja, taf inti tkellimna ħafna fuq il-moral fl-istorja, naħseb hija dik is-sens ta' ġustizzja li tirrenja għaliex Bata huwa l-vittma bil-istorja. U tal-anqas jieħu l-premju tiegħu u jilħaq re. Nispera li sakemm nerġgħu niltaqgħu tiskopru aktar teżori letterarji bħal din li għadna kif smajna, u fil-programm li jmiss se nerġgħu mmorru l-Eġittu u sa niltaqgħu ma' din il-mara jisima Rodopis, li fil-verità kienet skjava u kienet taf lill-Esopu iva, se jerġa' jidħol Esopu f'dan il-programm ukoll. U fuq il-ħajja ta' din il-mara inkidbet l-ewwel ħrafa ta' Cinderella li jisima wkoll Rodopis. Mela jekk tiġu tisimgħu din il-ħrafa u l-istorja tal-vera Rodopis, sommu appuntament miegħi għall-programm ieħor il-ħrejjef l-erf u l-maġija. Sa dak it-tant jiena Margita Juice insemmilkom.